Ok, naslednja depeša, ki jo bomo brali, je iz Beograda, spisana februarja 2010 in poslana v celo vrsto ambasad po Evropi, v Balkanu, v Rusiji. Njena vsebina je pa tajna. In sicer na sestanku sta se dobila Mary Warlick pa Jovana Ratković. To je takrat še novo pečena ambasadorka, ameriška v Beogradu. In pa tip z žeščim nazivom in sicer svetoval za zunanje zadeve in odnose z Evropsko unijo in NATO srbskega predsednika Borisa Tadića. No in valjda govorila sta o mnogo čem, predvsem o odnosih Srbije s sosednjimi državami, Makedonijo, Hrvaško, Bosno, Črno goro pa Kosovem. In depeša je bila objavljena tudi v Guardianu, predvsem s poudarkom na, na odnosu, ki ga je Jovan Ratković izrazil, se pravi odnosu Srbije do Kosova, kjer pove, da severni del Kosova z etnično srbsko večino nav nikoli sprejel vlada iz Prištine in da bi pač integracija te regije, kar je nekak plan Združenih držav, destabilizirala Srbijo. Znači, ko je presluhamo depeše.
Summary. In a February the 3rd conversation with the ambassador, presidential foreign policy advisor Jovan Ratković conveyed Serbia's desire for intensified cooperation with the United States and detailed his plans to visit Washington February from 10th to 12th to discuss possible ways forward on Kosovo, saying Serbia sought a realistic, pragmatic, peaceful, win-win solution for Serbs and Albanians. He expressed concern that the International Civilian Office ICO plan to integrate northern Kosovo could destabilize the situation and threaten political stability in Serbia, and would not engage on the issue of whether Serbia would seek an United Nations General Assembly resolution calling for new status talks. Ratković noted the important role that KFOR played in Kosovo and said that Serbia would formally open its NATO mission by mid-2010 and increase its participation in Partnership for Peace activities. Progress towards EU membership would likely be slowed by EU enlargement fatigue and wariness of accepting new members until they were fully qualified, he predicted. Ratković expressed cautious optimism that a breakthrough in bilateral relations with Croatia would be possible, concern about Macedonia's long-term stability, and disappointment with the poor state of relations with Montenegro. End summary. Ambassador paid an introductory courtesy call on presidential foreign policy advisor Jovan Ratković on February the 3rd, Ratković was accompanied by his deputy Aleksandar Knežević. Ambassador thanked Ratković for his help in arranging for her to present her credentials to President Tadić so soon after arrival, which had allowed her to get off to a quick start in meeting Serbian government officials. She told Ratković that she would work to build on the already strong momentum of the bilateral relationship by expanding our cooperation on economic and security issues, while addressing difficult issues in a constructive way. The visits of Kodel Vojnović, Kodel Pomeroy and European Deputy Assistant Secretary Jones in February would be important opportunities for dialogue, she noted. Ratković said that Senator Vojnović was an old friend who was always welcome in Serbia. The fact that he and Senator Shahin would be arriving on February the 17th after having visited Pristina on the anniversary of Kosovo's declaration of independence was problematic, however. Ratković was unable to confirm whether President Tadić would meet with the congressional delegation pending resolution of these itinerary concerns. Ratković expressed the hope that 2010 would be a decisive year for building bilateral relations in which the United States would treat Serbia as a true partner in all areas of cooperation, not just security. Serbia intended to continue its cooperation with the US on sensitive intelligence matters, and to increase defense cooperation by working on peacekeeping training with the Ohio National Guard. Multilaterally, Serbia had committed to sending up to 50 additional gendarmerie to UNMISTA in Haiti under EU auspices and was in discussions with Spain about contributing troops to United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon. Brainstorming on Kosovo. Ratković informed the ambassador that he would visit Washington from February the 10th to 12th after attending Wehrkunde in Munich and a Conservative Party event in London. He hoped to meet with Gordon as well as contacts in Congress for discreet brainstorming on ways forward on Kosovo. The ambassador conveyed US concerns about indications that Serbia would continue to take a confrontational approach on Kosovo after the International Court of Justice rendered its advisory opinion. Dismissing the question of whether Serbia would seek a United Nations General Assembly resolution calling for, that is, for new status talks as a mere tactical issue for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to decide, Ratković said the presidency was focused on the bigger question of how to achieve a realistic, pragmatic, peaceful win-win solution for Serbs and Albanians. Ratković said that Serbia recognized and was trying to respect the legitimate interests of Kosovar Albanians. In return, Serbia expected the Kosovars to respect the legitimate interests of Serbia and Kosovo Serbs as well. He stressed that the Serbian government wanted the US to be part of and support a solution that would lead to regional stability and reconciliation. For that reason, he hoped for high-level, free thinking and informal discussions in Washington. He had received explicit guidance from President Dadić on the specifics of his message, but was not at liberty to share it yet. Ratković returned to the topic of Kosovo later in the conversation, stressing the sensitivity of how the North is handled. Ratković argued that the northern part of Kosovo had a history distinct from the rest of the province, claiming that the three districts north of the Ibar were only annexed to the province after World War II to counterbalance the rapid growth of the ethnic Albanian population. Quote, "These people have never lived with Albanians, have never felt themselves part of Kosovo, and won't accept rule by Pristina," Ratković said. Belgrade is not trying to change the reality on the ground for Kosovar Albanians, but changing the reality for Kosovo Serbs would also be destabilizing, he added. For that reason, the ICO proposal to integrate the North, put forward by Peter Veit and supported by the United States, was not helpful, according to Ratković, who claimed that military intervention was being discussed. He said that this was the primary reason that Dadić decided to address the UN Security Council on January the 22nd. The implementation of such a strategy could result in instability and thus become a national security concern for Serbia, threatening the country's democratization and pro-Western orientation. Comment: Serbia's historical arguments are routinely countered by Albanian historical recollections to the contrary. Ratković's claims of a separate historical reality for Northern Mitrovica, therefore, would find resistance from Kosovo Albanian historians. End comment. The ambassador responded that the ideas put forward by Veit were not new. The integration of northern Kosovo had always been on the table. She emphasized that there was no discussion of the use of force to impose the integration of the whole territory of Kosovo. Noting that we understand the Serbian government's sensitivities, the ambassador underscored the need to exchange views openly on the full range of unresolved issues and encouraged Ratković to share his thinking in detail while in Washington. Ratković said that Serbia had the EU's assurances that the document produced by the ICO, International Court of Justice, was not an EU plan. He added that given the situation on the ground and the attitude of Kosovo Serbs toward the ICO, the only way to implement the plan would be by use of force. It's getting hotter, it's a burning love, and I just can't seem to get enough. NATO relations. Asked about the president's views on Serbia's relations with NATO, Ratković said that as a former Minister of Defense, President Dadić knows the issue well. Dadić believes that Serbia cannot remain outside of NATO forever, but doesn't say this often because of the political sensitivity of the issue. Radkovich explained that after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the citizens of Yugoslavia assumed that they would be among the first to enter both the European Union and NATO. It wasn't until the wars of the Milosevic era and the 1999 NATO intervention that anti-NATO sentiment developed in Serbia. Radkovic characterized current public support for partnership for peace, participation and NATO membership as surprisingly high given Serbia's history. Serbia is taking concrete steps to increase its engagement with NATO, Radkovic said. It has appointed an ambassador to NATO and established a mission there. Once the office is fully operational, President Tadic will travel to Brussels in June or July to open it formally and hopes to address the North Atlantic Council. Tadic had instructed the Ministry for Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Defense to increase Serbia's participation in Partnership for Peace on the model of Austria. These steps needed to precede any decision about membership, Radkovic said. He added that President Tadic would meet with Supreme Allied Commander Europe / United States European Command Commander Admiral James Stauridis in Belgrade on February the 11th. Radkovic emphasized that NATO's image in the Serbian public had a significant influence on the development of the relationship, mentioning the role of KFOR in protecting Kosovo Serbs and religious sites and concerns about its drawdown.
Pravio da je objavljanje američkih depiš nezakonito, nemoralno, nevarno, jebeš to. U subotu po noći bomo vsi u depeš modu. Na Radiju Študent se bodo u tokratnem sobotnom noćnom programu uživo brale depiše američkega zunanjega ministerstva objavljene na strani Wikileaks. Hrvaška, Vatikan, Nigerija, Bosna, Italija, Srbija in še in še in še. Ob spremljavi Depeche Mode vso sobotno noč od pol druge ure naprej na frekvenci 89,3 MHz.
European integration. Ratković predicted that the Spanish EU presidency would push for movement on Serbia's EU membership application in March, but did not know whether the effort would be successful due to member states' enlargement fatigue and weariness of accepting any more new members that were not fully qualified. He charged that Germany's misguided belief that enlargement was economically detrimental rather than beneficial had led it to introduce new hurdles for applicants, including making the forwarding of a membership application to the Commission for an IVs a political rather than a technical question. He asserted that both Serbia and Croatia had the administrative capacity and political will to fulfill all EU criteria, noting that the upcoming 10th anniversary of the October 5th, 2000 overthrow of Milosevic would provide an opportunity to remind the world of the results of Serbia's democratic revolution. Regional relations. The ambassador told Ratković that the United States was supportive of Serbia's efforts to improve its relations with Croatia and informed him that Population Refugees Migration Bureau Deputy Assistant Secretary David Robinson would visit Belgrade in early March to look at how the United States could contribute to resolving protracted refugee issues, particularly between Serbia and Croatia. Ratković said that the presidency was working discreetly with Croatia on a roadmap to resolve all of the outstanding bilateral issues and that they understood the EU had sent a helpful message to Zagreb that Croatia needed to find solutions in order to close Chapter 23 of the acquis. He said he was cautiously optimistic that there would be a breakthrough with Croatia in 2010. Ratković expressed pessimism about prospects for constitutional reform in Bosnia and Herzegovina in light of upcoming elections. He said the Spanish EU presidency would make a last attempt to reach agreement before the election campaign began in earnest, but would face difficult odds. Ratković reiterated that the Serbian government supported the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina and would not be swayed by what he claimed was the desire of the majority of Republika Srpska residents to secede and merge with Serbia. In this context, Serbia also supported Bosnia and Herzegovina's entry into EU and NATO as a way to stabilize the country and cement the current borders. Ratković said the USG had miscalculated in making constitutional reform a precondition for a NATO membership action plan status for Bosnia and Herzegovina, as most Bosnian Serbs were not for NATO. He expressed regret that the Butmir process had not produced agreement since many of the elements of the plan were acceptable to all three constituent peoples. It would have been better to avoid taking an all-or-nothing approach to the reforms and to have granted MAP status, he judged. was more worried about Macedonia's future than Bosnia's, Ratković said. It is not clear how a country composed of two completely different ethnic groups with no common language or religion can hold together, he commented, particularly with the ethnic Albanian population growing at such a rate that it will equal the Slavic population in 20 years. Ratković said that President Tadić was talking to both Greece and Macedonia about the name issue in hopes of unblocking Macedonia's path to both the EU and NATO. Serbia's relations with Montenegro were at a historic low, Ratković said, noting that as he and Tadić were both of Montenegrin origin, they felt the situation keenly. He explained that the Montenegrin government had had to distance itself from Belgrade in order to win the independence referendum. But as there were no longer any divisive issues, the ball was in Podgorica's court. It remained to be seen if Montenegro would treat Serbia as, quote, a strategic partner or a bogeyman, Ratković commented. One important criterion will be how Montenegro addresses organized crime, which Ratković identified as a serious problem that Serbia believed must be tackled. Tadić's foreign policy advisor, Ratković's comments come closest to reflecting the president's views and vision on issues across the spectrum. His decision to visit Washington next week under clear instruction to outline Tadić's thinking in a low-key manner on a post-International Court for Justice way forward is a constructive step and may provide an important opportunity to influence Belgrade's strategy. In a meeting with the UK ambassador, Please Protect, earlier this week, Ratković outlined the following ideas that likely reflect current thinking. Option A. Some understanding of a bigger Serbian role in the north and over 5 monasteries in the south, in which case Belgrade would accept but not recognize Kosovo. Option B. Partition. Option C. Serbia chooses between Kosovo or the EU. Option A. Idest finding a way to define Serbia's special interests in the north and with the status of some churches in the south most likely reflects the ideas that Belgrade is most interested in exploring. While Serbia's lack of a commitment to recognize Kosovo will remain an EU stumbling in the long term, Ratković's overture next week may provide an initial first step toward defining a more realistic modus vivendi, which we have been encouraging the Serbs to explore.
Plans made in the nursery can change the course of history. Remember that.
Ratković understands that the ideas he outlines next week will only provide a basis for discussion, with the expectation, of course, of much more work to follow. Nevertheless, we are encouraged by what appears to be a growing recognition of both the strategic and tactical importance of opening channels for a post-ICJ dialogue sooner rather than later, and the need to manage next steps in a way that does not undermine other key Belgrade objectives, above all, eventual EU accession. Jeremic's, that is, Foreign Minister Jeremic's visit to Washington the week of February the 22nd and Deputy Assistant Secretary Jones's travel to the region the same week will provide important follow-on opportunities for continued engagement on the way ahead. End comment.